So, wow, what a prayer. Thank you so much for that. That was a very warm welcome. And it's really wonderful to be with you this morning. So, good morning. Andrew's kind of come and invited me to share something with you today. Let me just introduce myself. As you've heard, my name is Anna. It's not Anne like it says in the sheets. It has got the A on the end. Anyway, no, I'm not bothered about that really. I just kind of want to talk to you a little bit about kind of what I've been doing the last 2 years, but particularly what I've been doing this year, because I am so excited to share with you the amazing things that God has done, and it's been such an amazing opportunity to be a part of that as well. So just to start you off and just to give you a bit of a background, I am actually serving with an organisation called the PAYS Project. And basically they are an organisation that I join because the heart of it is basically my heart as well. So I'll just share my heart and also their heart, which is, our mission statement is to spark a global movement where the saints' primary concern is to advance the kingdom of God in their communities and to equip them to do that, okay? And also their motto is missionaries making missionaries, which is also my heart. So the idea is that young people, young adults come, some are 18, they're straight from college, some might be like 25, we've had 30-year-olds join as well, they're not that picky about it, but just people who have a heart to serve and spread the gospel and make disciples come. And they basically reproduce themselves. So we want to spark a global movement, like I just said, of young people that are going to go and not just have an insular faith. Okay, great, they're saved, but what are they going to do after that? We want to see the fruit of that afterwards. So that's what it's all about, and that's why it's so exciting. Okay, so I was serving my first year in Southport, sunny Southport, which is obviously a sunny town in the northwest of England. So obviously mission, I really believe, starts at home. And as you can see already, we have some friends on the screen because I spent my second year, my year just gone, in Ghana. I was also leading a team of young missionaries as well. So that was really exciting. So let me just show you this video. Just watch it and you'll just be like, wow. It's very short, by the way. So there you go, meet the orphans that we work with this year. So they're from an orphanage called the Danceman Orphanage in the capital city of Ghana, Accra. So as you can see, they're full of life, they're very happy, they've had some sugar, and that explains a lot of things. Kids, sugar, stay away. Hopefully the people who work at the orphanage weren't too unhappy with us at the end of that day. As you heard, they were shouting, "We love Jesus." Okay, now that just shows you so much. Kids from the ages of like 4 to about 20 were at this orphanage. And, in terms of the worldly sense, they've lost, and kind of a spiritual sense in some ways, in our mind, they've lost so much. They've lost, they've not got their parents. And that is just, I can't imagine my life without my parents. And yet these kids have so much love in their hearts. We were going in to teach them the word of God and just to spend some time with them to try and bless them in any way that they needed, financially, spiritually, whatever they needed. But a lot of the time it's like these guys know more than us. And that was the thing that really, really, I think broke our hearts and just really, really touched us in a way. So this is just part of the amazing stuff we got to be a part of this year. I've totally not come back the same since I went out to Ghana. This is the other thing, that when we're working with these kids, they have got faith, and that's what's keeping them going. They've got the love of God in their hearts. And we wanted, so one thing that they kind of needed was that kind of, how can they do something with this now? And the amazing thing is that we got to see this year so many young lives just being transformed by the power and the love of God. And it's just one of the most beautiful things that God can use us to do, and he calls us all to do it. Okay, so can we go to the next slide? Okay, so here's a picture, and this is a Ghanaian school. This is me going up to some kids. I don't know whether I'm telling them off or making a joke or something, but hey, they're just beautiful, beautiful children. And so what our mission strategy was basically, it's in 4 points, which is spread, spot, stay, send. So we wanted to, first of all, spread the word of God and the love of God, and then stay. Sorry, spot, which is to spot the people of peace. We call them people of peace. And basically what that means is the young people that are leaning forward to Jesus, those that want to know more, they want to go deeper in their faith, those that we're like, because, I mean, we can invest in everybody, but you know that smaller group, like Jesus had 12 disciples. He had lots of other disciples, but those that followed him around. So we would pick out those that we thought they're really, really serious about this. And then what we would do, we'd stay with them and disciple them, mentor them, input into them, and, you know, intentionally open up opportunities for them to basically step up as leaders and train them how to become leaders, young leaders, which was really exciting. And then the last point, obviously, is send, because what good is it to just kind of like teach them, be with them? We want them to then go. To be at a point where they don't need us anymore, because, yeah, they're well equipped to do it. So go for it, you know? Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of age." And that is basically the Great Commission. It's for every single one of us here today. And that is what, yeah, those young people are going to do, fulfill the Great Commission. We were doing lots of different things. So we had FaceTime kind of with around 2,000 young people kind of the whole year. Okay, that's not just as a team. Because basically the way it works is we were all in Ghana. The main hub was in Accra, the capital city. But we had some up in the north, which was like 12 hours away. We had a few in the other neighboring regions as well. And there's lots of different teams in different areas being planted in different churches to serve different communities and reach the different people there. So I'm saying 2,000 in the capital city. So there's much more if you're talking about all of us as a whole. So that's how many we kind of saw. But then regularly we were ministering, this is in our schools and in our church work, with around 1,000 kids and young people, which is really cool and exciting. Okay, yeah, so we reached out in lots of different ways. So kind of regularly in a weekly schedule, we were doing things like worship times like this. So this is a worship time. It's like their assembly, basically. So all the students gather around, like lots and lots of students come and gather into tiny rooms. So you might have like, what, 500 young people trying to just fit in this tiny room. It's a bit crazy. And it's very warm. So you really have to pray to God that you can stay awake and minister. You really need the Holy Spirit, because otherwise you're just dripping with sweat and you're like this. Jesus said, no. So that is that was amazing, like doing the worship times and really bringing something to these young people that would get them thinking and challenge them and just bring them closer into falling in love with Jesus. So that was our large scale, okay, so our worship times. We also held Bible studies once a week in all our different schools. So this was a time when those, like we said, our people of peace would come and they would really dig into the heart of God in different ways, learn how to lead the Bible studies as well, and also go and do that. Okay, we also did things kind of through the week and at weekends. So we'd do like iGroup. Okay, I'll tell you a funny story about iGroup. So what this is, it is a time where young people can come together in their off time. So like on a Saturday, well, we say that, but they still have classes until like 12. But they come after that and basically they learn how to use their gifts and talents to serve their community. Okay, so yeah, we teach them lots of different things. Now, when we were starting this, we were like, yeah, we'll probably get about, if we're lucky, 50 young people. Okay. And we were all prepared. We said, you know, we might even get 10. We know what young people are like. They can be quite flaky. So we set it up, and we'd set all the sound up. We were just sitting, waiting. Okay, we've done the prayer meeting. We're just waiting for everybody now. What went and happened? A group of people came. We're like, oh, they're in good timing for Africans. Just, yeah, they like to turn up like an hour late for everything. You get used to that. And then another lot of people came. And then more and more, and we were just like, what is going on? What ended up happening was, there was three of us, me, Samuel, and Sarah, my team, okay, that was serving and leading it. And then 500 young people came. They came running in. So it was like a whole church packed with people in the auditorium. It was crazy. We were like, okay, God, please help us. And there were people coming in and out of the church. They got roped into volunteering. You know, we just had to do it. And from there, we had this amazing, great thing that had started. And we came with this mindset of it being so small. And it really reminds me of that story in Luke's gospel where Jesus is saying to the disciples, hey, throw your nets into the deep. And Peter's just like, are you serious? We're not going to catch anything. You have to go when it's dark. What are you doing? You're just crazy. What is this man on about? We'll prove him wrong. And then he throws it. And, you know, these guys are alarmed because there's so many fish in these nets that they're almost breaking. And, you know, if they'd have had that mindset of, wow, this could really work. We could really believe this. They could have built a bigger net. They could have got so much more fish. So in the same way, like, that really challenged us to think about, you know, don't put God in a box. Open your expectations and open your mind to what you can do. And, yeah, obviously at the church at the weekends as well, we were serving the youth ministry, and it was really good because we like to bridge the gap between schools and churches. So we're with them throughout the week, and we're with them at church as well. They're two worlds, because, you know, there are two worlds really sometimes, which is a shame. And we want to break that kind of norm and go against the status quo with that. Yeah, so we'll go on to the next slide. Okay, so these are some beautiful, beautiful kids that have just decided to give their lives to Christ. And my own mother, who's here, wave at everybody, Mum. Okay. I was really blessed that she actually came and joined me for about 10 days in Ghana, and she got to come with me and my team on a missions trip. So my church were really awesome, they were really evangelistic, and we went to a rural area. So they did lots of different missions. We were involved with different ones throughout the year, medical and rural missions. Some they did on their own church campus to their own community. They'd also go like to places like the country above, Burkina Faso, lots of places. They like to travel around, and that was really cool. So what they did on this type of missions trip, they'd do it night after night. They had a lot of energy, and that was the Holy Spirit again. And they would basically show the passion of Christ. So they had this missions van, and they had a screen on the back of it, and they'd just project it. And they'd have a translator as well, because in the more rural areas, they generally did speak English in the capital city, but they also spoke about 10 other languages as well, which is really impressive. I'm like, I could only say a few words in Spanish, but there you go. So they could do that, and it was really amazing. So they just equipped them, they made it understandable, and the local people really appreciated this. And obviously, has anyone here seen The Passion of Christ? Put your hand up if you've seen it. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it at least once. It's very powerful. And it basically, I'm sure most of you know, it depicts the story of Jesus' crucifixion, and it's very, very graphic in that sense. But it works for the purpose it was created. And yeah, after that, they just say a few words. Listen, Jesus did this for you. If you want to accept him into your life, please come now for prayer ministry. And we just saw in about 10 seconds, about 300, 400 kids, adults, just rush forward and give their lives to Christ just in that one night. And that's one night out of a week. Yes. By the end of the week, they've seen thousands. It's just amazing. So they give, like, here are our little kids with their little, well, we see them as Gideon's Bibles, really, don't we? Was anyone ever given a Gideon's Bible at any point? Yeah, I was as well. So they have these little New Testaments. And they're very happy to receive them. They like free things. Who doesn't like free things, actually? Okay, yeah. So yeah, we can go on to our next slide, if that's okay. Okay, another great thing that we got to do this year. So this was at one of our events that we planned as a team at our church, which was called the Fun Fair. And you can imagine what that incorporates. Lots of crazy fun things that young people are attracted to. Bouncy castles, face painting, free entertainment. We got the kids to come and do a talent show. Like, lots of different things were going on. And this guy here is called David. Yeah, it's just a really normal name. And he had just preached the word of God. You know, they have their God slot, like they say. But we didn't want it to just be a God slot. This was the reason. We held this event to attract young people to increase our spread, increase our reach, to attract more people. And we were hoping that we could get them connected to churches as well, and that actually happened as well. So around between 500 and 600 young people came flooding into this as well. And after this word of God, it was really powerful, because we did hold an altar call, and about 40 or 50 young people gave their lives to Christ, and that's what you can see here. We have young people just running to the stage, and you can see them all just standing with their hands in a prayer position, ready to receive Christ, which is so exciting. So there you go, that was just something. We held other events as well, and time and time again, we just see the power of God. We had a lot of numbers again. That's just how it seems to be in Ghana and how it seemed to be during the year. Floods of people just reaching out for Christ. And this is a nation where young people, like everybody, you ask them if they're a Christian, they'll say yes. Even if they go out drinking, they don't even care about God, they'll still say they're a Christian because it's cultural. So you have to look past that, because so many of them, even though they've been brought up in church, they didn't really have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, because I went in thinking, oh my goodness, am I ministering to Christians all year? But actually, they really needed Christ. Even if they can quote the Bible better than me, they still need Christ. Because if it happens in here but not here, there's a problem. So we saw a lot of it happening in here, which was really exciting. So there we go. We saw lots of integrations. We saw lots of salvations. We saw lots of integrations. So by integrations, I mean that, people gave their lives to Christ, and then they connected themselves to a faith-filled environment and community, which is the church. Obviously, we were doing church in school as well when we were doing our Bible studies, our Havarim group. So Havarim's a Greek word for friends who study together. And it was just really amazing. So we saw throughout the year kind of connecting all these things, about 1,000 salvations, which I don't take for granted. And if I ever do, God help me, because it's just, wow. Sometimes I have to pinch myself. But I shouldn't have to, because I should be expecting that, like I was saying before, with the nets and everything. Anyways. And we saw like a large number of integrations as well. Now, this was through events like this, but the most exciting one for me was when we heard stories of our young people bringing their friends to church, reconnecting those that had backslidden from Christ and bringing them back, and being advocates for Christ in their schools. When people are being bullied, when people, starting to go off the wrong way, those that are going to speak out words of truth and encouragement when the devil is trying to snatch so many people and lie to them. So we've got young people breaking into the kingdom of darkness, even though we're not there now. We know they're still meeting. We know that they're still like sharing the word of God with their friends. It's really amazing. And it was just a privilege to be involved with them this year. And we just pray and we believe they're going to do even greater things than we will ever do. Okay, so we can go on to the next slide, please. Okay, so here is a few of us that were team leaders this year. We were waiting for the other apprentices to arrive. This is actually, this is Emmanuel in the middle. He was one of our directors, and it was his birthday. So in Ghana, they don't usually have parties for people's birthdays, which is a little bit sad. But hey, when they get connected to the Europeans and the Americans and things, they start saying, yeah, come on, let's have a party then. I've never had one. And it's a real blessing for them. And so we did that throughout Pays. It was really cool to do that. And, what they would also do, they would always pray. It was powerful, because the significance of waking up in the morning in Ghana is something massive. They don't take that for granted. Whereas we just get up, right? Oh, I need a cup of tea. Oh, it's the morning. They're just like, God, I praise you. I thank you. I'm alive. I give you all the glory. It's just amazing. But like when it's a birthday, when it's another year they're thanking God for, can you imagine? Yeah, so it's pretty intense, and we were speaking words over his life. But the reason I want you to see this picture is just because I think it signifies unity. And, there's a chapter in Acts, it's one of the first chapters where it says, and the Lord added to their number daily. But the reason for that is because they were united in mind and spirit. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for us to be unified, to stand together, because if we didn't stand and pray this year, we wouldn't have seen the fruit that we did. And that's something that I've really powerfully brought back from Ghana. So I just want to bring to you now a few, like 5 points, 5 things that I really caught out there. There are people practicing it all over the world, but it's just something I found really significant, and it was a real pattern out there. that I couldn't go away the same. And I really believe it helps us to manifest the power of God in our lives. So one thing, like I kind of touched on a tiny bit before, is about the thankfulness of the Ghanaians. Every prayer meeting, anytime you shared a word of God with somebody, they would never take it for granted. They would always say, "Thank you, God. We bless you, God." You would ask them how they are. "I am good by the grace of God. I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you, Jesus." They would always give God the glory, even when you're greeting somebody. And okay, we might think, well, that might not become part of my speech. That's not me. And I'm not saying you have to do that. That's not what I'm coming here to say. What I am saying is that concept, that understanding of, okay, well, even if things are falling apart around me, even if I'm having a really tough time, even if I don't really feel thankful right now, be thankful. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we should give thanks in all situations, because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So what I want you to do now, I'm sure you can do this, just think in your heads of three things that you are thankful for this morning. I'm just going to give you a moment to think of that. I might ask a couple of you to share them. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 more seconds because it shouldn't take too long. Okay, are we done? Are we ready? Fabulous. Okay, so I'll start because I need to share what I'm saying as well. So basically, one thing that I'm definitely thankful for is the fact that I'm in Spain. Woohoo! And I'm with you guys. That's two, actually, but hey. It's just really amazing to be here. It's a real blessing, and it's for a wonderful celebration. Okay, I'm also really thankful that I'm healthy, and that's not something I take for granted. And also, I'm really thankful because I loved... Oh, who was it that came and shared? It was you, wasn't it? Please, what's your name? Yes. Margaret. She shared that beautiful word that God had put on her heart about praying for those that are married. I'm really thankful. I really say thank you, God, for all of you guys that have stuck together in marriage. Because the reason that I'm here even in Spain this week is to celebrate my parents' 25th wedding anniversary. So I praise God and I thank him for that. Okay. Would anyone like to share three things that they're really thankful for this morning? Yes?
I'm thankful that God took me from the darkness into the light.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And the other thing I'm thankful for is a wife who I can grow in God with.
Praise God.
And I thank him that he brought us to this place to learn more about him. Because we can become stuck in the mud, in the mire. And know very little. Yeah. Think we know a lot. But there's much, much more to learn.
Yeah. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. What's your name, sorry?
Cliff,
that's it. Please, my memory is terrible. Okay, anyone else would like to share? Would you like to share three things that you're thankful for this morning? Yes. What's your name?
Audrey.
So Audrey, would you like to share with us?
I'm just thankful that God chose me.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant.
And as you say, we're married. I've been married 56 years.
Wow, praise God, that's
great. God has been in our marriage all the time.
Yes,
and when we came to Spain, I
praise God. Thank you so much. I'm sure we could all share something that we're thankful for. And if you found that difficult, you should try and work on that. I'm saying that with the love of God. you know, when we have an attitude of thankfulness, it completely changes our perception. What we think are problems. I know that one problem for someone might not be a problem for another and vice versa. So yeah, we have to be sensitive to that. But, you know, in Ghana, they have a greater capacity because of the thankfulness that they have. You know, they will thank God before they go into a church service. They'll get their mind into the right place to be able to receive from God because they're already thankful for what he's given them and what's going to come. Okay, which brings me on to the next thing that really stuck out to me, which is the joy that they have. I know a lot of us kind of look at Africa and say, oh, look at them, they're always smiling and dancing. They're so full of joy. A lot of people, I hear them say, they're so happy. Now, happiness and joy are very different things, because we know happiness is based on circumstances, whereas joy is based on God. True joy comes from the love of God. And that is a joy that nothing can take away from us. The enemy can try, but he can't. It's something that he can't take. Even if we don't feel happy, that is insignificant. We still have joy. Sometimes we ask God, please give me joy. But do you know what? You already have it. You just say, God, remind me of the joy that you've given me. Not give me joy, because he's already given it to us. And you know, there's not one time I wouldn't see in a church service people not dancing, because they had so much praise and thankfulness and joy flooding through their body. They just had to get rid of it somehow. And that is what I just want you to catch today, and to bring that with you wherever you go out of here. Okay, another thing that I really noticed and I was really, really impacted by was how prayerful they were. They really are a praying nation in Ghana. The way they prioritize prayer. Like, I know we could all do it. We're human beings. Oh, there's a prayer meeting tomorrow night. I mean, should I go? I mean, I'm going to the service on Sunday, so. Sometimes we just think, oh, not prayer meeting. I like it when, you know, there's something in it for me. There's something I can, it's a bit more fun. There's a bit of worship, you know. You know when it's prayer. Sometimes we don't prioritize it in the way that we should. But in Ghana, the way they do it, you know, they might have had the craziest busy week in the world. It doesn't matter. They will go on a Friday night once a month. Nothing will compromise it. Nothing at all. Unless, obviously, there's an emergency or something. They're not that, like, you know, they have got common sense. But they would go and just sacrifice a night of sleep once a month. Some of them did it every week, which I'm like, wow. I don't know if I could do that even. And they would just pray. Get on their knees and pray from 10 p.m. at night to 5 a.m. in the morning, which is like, wow. I know, yeah, we have to ask for God's grace for the capacity to do that. And they would have a word and they'd have some worship as well. But they would pray a lot of that time. And that's just something that was really, really common. If we tried to do it in more Western cultures, it might be more tricky, but it's just the way they prioritize prayer. It's so powerful. And you could just feel the power of God because of, you know, the outer life that we have, the what we've got that we have, it starts in the secret place. It starts at home as well.
Yes,
so we have to pray. We have a responsibility to pray. Okay, we choose whether to do it or not, but we have a responsibility to pray. And there's a quote that I love. I just want to share it with you from Billy Graham. And he says, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. And I really believe that. Okay, another thing, number four of the things that I loved was that the expectancy, being expectant. So I kind of touched on it a bit earlier, that I should have been expectant when we were holding that I group for the first time. Okay, and we can really easily put God in a box. It's ridiculous. This is a God that we want to understand all the time. But how? You know, it says in Isaiah that who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? This is the creator of the universe. Do you think we're going to understand him? Like, we can't understand a human being sometimes. So how can we expect to understand God? Because he has got so much for us to do. And I really believe that expectancy is linked in with faith. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Sometimes we think that's a bit harsh. We're like, God, we don't really feel like we've got that much faith. We feel a bit like the kind of falling Peter, you know, when he was walking on the water, looking down. That happens, and God doesn't shout at us. He doesn't get cross at us for that. You know, we saw Jesus was standing there encouraging him, saying, come on, you can do it. Just keep your eyes on me. And we often do, you know, the things we can go through, the things that maybe have happened in the past, maybe past experiences have brought something to our mind thinking, well, that failed before, so I'm not going back to it. But I don't know, I just feel like God is saying to somebody today that, listen, it hasn't worked in the past. It did fail. But that failure was there to teach you something, and the wisdom that you've learned from that failure is to set you up for what's coming up now. So believe it. I'm still going to fulfill my promise.
Praise God.
And also in Hebrews, because the Bible scripture I just shared about faith pleasing God. In another part of Hebrews, you know, it talks about the fact that faith is confidence and hope and assurance about the things that we do not see. And it also says that that's what the ancients were commended for. The great men and women of the Old Testament, they believed. They just believed God. God said to Abraham, leave your father's country and go to the land I'm showing you. He didn't have a sat-nav. He had no idea where he was going. He just followed God. He put his son on the altar when God was like, okay, I want you to sacrifice your son. His one and only son. That is crazy. I've not even had kids yet, but I can't imagine doing that when I do. And I know a lot of you here have kids. Some of you have grandkids. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine if God asked you to do that? And the amazing thing about all these great people that are listed, you know, there's a lot of people, if you look at Hebrews, it says afterwards that none of them inherited the whole of the promise that God had given them, because it was something so much greater than this life. And we have to remember that sometimes, you know, there are things that we are dreaming of, there are things that we should be expecting, and things God has promised us, we're not going to see them fully manifested while we're on this earth. But remember that this earth, this time on this earth, is not the end of it. We can't even begin to imagine or dream what is in the future. Okay, one more thing that I really loved about what I experienced a lot in the Ghanaian culture was the way in prayer, or you know, if you were sharing a problem with someone or you wanted prayer for a healing, the way they spoke with authority. And it reminded me that as children of God, we need to know our identity. Jesus, you know, when he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go. And Jesus brings out that example. We see in the Gospels the example of the centurion who says, I understand authority. I understand how it works. Because, I command all of these people and they do what I say because I'm in a position of authority. And, there's nothing in between. It's black and white. They just do it because that's how authority works. And he says, so, my servant needs healing. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I've seen no other faith like this. Yes. And that is just saying that, wow, we should just take God's word for it. We need to have that. You know, when we have that expectancy, when we're already expectant and we're thankful and we're knowing what God's going to do, speaking with that authority. You see someone with a broken leg, get healed in the name of Jesus. You know, we need to command things in Jesus' name, because we see it so much in the Bible. We can see so much more when we do that. Okay, so I've just shared a few points with you. I've shared a bit about my time in Ghana with you. And I hope you're okay. I hope, are we all still here? We all still here? It's quite warm today, isn't it? You're doing very well. I'm very impressed. So, you know, one thing that I was saying just a moment ago is that this life isn't the end. But we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. What if he came back tonight or tomorrow? I just want to challenge you with a question. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2, I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you today, by the way. I'm sure you've gathered that. I hope that's okay. It says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Not, okay, there's going to be a few signals. You're going to know, like, okay, there's signs of the end times. We've seen some of them, etc., etc. But we don't know when. People have been saying for years, people were saying it 1,000 years ago, not long after Jesus' time as well. People are eagerly waiting for the day, expecting it. We don't know. We don't know when it's going to happen. So I just want to challenge you today, not to cause anxiety, but just to encourage you, to just stir you up. That maybe there's family members you have that don't know Christ. Maybe there are people around you that you know, maybe neighbors in Spain that you know, or maybe fellow English people that you know that are here that don't have faith. What are you going to do about it? Are you getting on your knees and praying? Are you expecting? Are you believing God? Are you going to those people? Are you bringing the gospel to them? Are you doing everything you can? So, yes, at the end of the day, it's their decision, but are you going to be able to stand before Jesus and him say, you did everything you could? Is he going to say that to you? I just want to challenge you today. And it challenges me to keep going, to go back if I've ever stopped pursuing in Christ and in prayer those people that really need it. So, yeah, Jesus has made us so that we can do something amazing for him. And it's been shared, you shared before when you were sharing what you were thankful for, that God has chosen you. It's not just called you, he's chosen you individually with your unique gifts, your talents, the things that stir you up, your interests, just the way you're built, your personality type, all of these things, your background, everything, it fits you. God has made you so uniquely. And I love it in Ephesians 2:10 when it says that we are God's masterpiece. This is from the New Living Translation, by the way. The others have been from the NIV. It says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good works that he has planned for us long ago. We're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. We always need to remember that. Because it's easy to be like, okay, God, I need you. Bless me. Make me happy. Do this for me. But sometimes it's like God's kind of saying, okay, what about these people around you? Do you remember why I saved you? It's not just to give you that warm, fuzzy feeling on a Sunday morning. It's to get you to go and do something so much greater. It's a lifestyle.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you know Ephesians 3, verse 20? It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. And I don't know if it's okay, Andrew or somebody, would you be able to come up and just play a bit of guitar for us?
Could do.
Would that be okay? You don't have to?
No, I can do.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you want
to background? Just some. Thank you. That was very impromptu, by the way. It's a little bit shocked. okay, so, you know, I've heard it quoted a lot, that verse, Ephesians 3:20. About that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Just that bit. But then after that it says, according to the power that is at work within us. And I just want us to reflect and just close our eyes if that's okay. I'd just like to ask everybody to do that. Because this is your moment now. This is your time to just connect with God. Okay, so I was just mentioning before about the fact that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. And I'm sure that's what we're all believing this morning. He can do more. But sometimes there are things that stop us from doing that. What is the power that's at work within you? How are you on fire for Jesus? Or do you feel maybe that fire's cooled down a little bit? Because we know that what we want to bring out, what we want to do around us, it starts within. And just with your eyes closed, I just want to share a story with you. That it was actually my mum told me about this the other day. That, you know, we're in Spain, it's beautiful, it's peaceful, the people are friendly, the sun is shining. The sightseeing is just incredible. You know, it's just a beautiful place to live. Or visit, if you're visiting at the moment. And there was a woman that she met that moved here, and she was here because she was like, yeah, I just want to go to Spain, I want to live here, it's nicer than back home. Yeah, it's just where I want to be. I want to appreciate 24/7 and have what people come for 2 weeks to have. And you know what she's doing, she's making a living, cleaning windows, cleaning houses and things like that. And my mum was asking her, oh, are you coming to the pool today then? Because she's staying in the area that we are. And she said, oh, no, I won't be doing that today. I've got other stuff going on. And, you know, she asked her, do you come to the pool much? Or she was like, oh, no, I've probably been about twice since I've been here. She was like, oh, do you go to the beach then? She went, I've probably been about 3 times. And she's been here for more than a year. And that's why she came here. So, she's been here for 5 years, sorry, which is a long time. It's quite extreme. She's been to the pool a couple of times and the beach 3 times, and that's why she came here. And the reason I'm sharing that story is I just want you to think of the fact that, you know, we've been given an amazing salvation. And we can take that for granted so easily. Somebody shared this morning, they're so thankful for God bringing them out of the darkness and into the light. And I just thank God for that right now. And I just want you to think now. I just want you to remember. Just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of that day when you gave your life to Christ. When you said, Jesus, I don't want this to be about religion anymore. I want a relationship with you. I want this to be real. I want to give my whole life to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Because Jesus isn't just our Savior, He's our Lord. Just reflect on that. The night of your salvation, the day of your salvation. How did it feel? Were you filled with joy? Did you feel chains fall off you? Was something stirred up inside of you? Did your life completely change? Was it turned completely upside down? Because it's an amazing day. It's the best day. It's the best day. And there's a verse in the Psalms that says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And some of us here today, they need that restoration. God is saying, come on, I want to restore that salvation in you. Just let me restore you. Just let me. It's not something we can do in our own power. Maybe you've tried. Maybe you're trying to read the Bible more. Maybe you're trying to pray. But it doesn't feel like anything's happening. It doesn't feel like you're getting closer to God. It feels more like you're striving. And God's saying this morning, just let me do it. You don't have to strive. I've done it for you. Just be in a relationship with me. I love you. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. And I feel there's an maybe there's some people here today that maybe feel like, well, you've asked me, Anna, to reflect on the day or the night of my salvation, but I, to be honest with you, I can't really remember either a moment that I did that, or maybe you're feeling like I've never done that, or maybe you thought about it and you want to do that. You want to give your life to Jesus. And let me tell you from my personal experience, I grew up in a Christian family and I walked away from God at the age of 14 due to some troubles in my life. And I thought the grass would be greener if I kind of became more like what I saw around me in the world and what other people were doing and living for kind of worldly pleasures really. But to me, you know, God came and got me when I was 18 and I just thought, oh my goodness, God, I wasn't looking for you. What are you doing? I couldn't run away from him anymore. And let me tell you, there's nothing that is like the love of Jesus. His grace for you, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're the dirtiest person in the world. You're the worst person in the world. Because I felt like that too. I did. Like, I made a lot of mistakes when I walked away from God. I still make them now. I'm not a perfect person. And Jesus doesn't want you to change your life before you come to him. He will change you. Just let him do that. And you don't need to be scared of that change. Because he's making you into the person he created you to be. So I just, I want to pray for you all. And actually, I'd like some other people to help pray with this. If you're in either of those groups that I just mentioned, maybe you're somebody that just wants that fire igniting again. Maybe you've been stirred up today, your heart's stirring up right now that you've heard about. Maybe what I've been doing in Ghana, and you thought, God, oh, there's more than this. There must be more than this. I've been created for more than how I'm living at the moment. My relationship with you needs that, a bit more of that fire in it. Or if you're one of those people that would like to either recommit your life to Christ, I'll give you the chance to do that if you want. Or if you just want to say, actually, Jesus, this is the first time and I want to say, Jesus, I want you. I want to give my life to you. I'm going to ask you to do something which is actually going to put you out of your comfort zone a bit, but it's so worth it. I've had to do this lots of times for God and it's always worth it. I just want to ask you to come to the front if you're in either of those groups. No one's looking around. The others have got their eyes closed and they're just going to pray alongside the others that are going to come and minister as well. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity to do that now.